Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Outlaw holler, I call the lady in black. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. You are in tune to Crazy Nation Radio and your nutcase host, Ron Reck. How's everybody doing on this fine Saturday night? The weather's been being fucking sweet. We ain't getting cooked. We ain't being froze. Jesus, thank you for one god good damn thing in our lives, man, because everything else is going to shit. There is no doubt about it. And everybody don't seem to get it yet. Still don't get it. Because we live in a dumb society. People are really fucking stupid. They are. I know some people might think that's insulting by me, but I'm not being insulting. I'm just trying to wake you up. Take a look at what I'm saying. Don't think I'm crazy. Look at it. Don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it. But it's up to you. You know, be what you want. Do what you want to do. I don't care. Because I sure do what I want to do because I don't care. I really don't care. It should be my fucking right not to have to worry about caring about shit. But if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing what I do here with you folks here tonight, or any night I do these, until they completely stop me. But anyway, man, whoo, this fuel price is getting fucking scary, man. I'm just telling you, $4.44 a gallon for diesel fuel in Missouri. Now, we've seen it at 7-something in California. Is a place you ought to be because they loaded up all the dope and they moved the fuck out of Beverly Billy's. You know what I mean? They left. They fucking ran away. You know, it's not, you know, I mean, people don't seem to get it, man. But I tell you what, you're start seeing more motherfuckers walking with gas cans. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's, you know, the price that's gotten, when it got up to, you know, like $3 a gallon, I started to know some more people walking, you know. And not much traffic in this little town, you know, next to me. Not too many people moving, you know. so it shows the impact. It's what, you know, unnecessary. You have to plan trips to go to town. It's got to be a fucking plan to go. So, you know, it's the way you have to live now, because it's going to depend on whether you're going to fucking eat or have a place to live or be able to get to work, you know, and all this shit's going to keep coming down on you. And then when you're late on a fucking payment or something, then you got fucking, you know, late fees. So you're getting fucked out of money just because you were a little late. You're being punished because you're not subordinate. Huh? Yeah. You didn't pay on time. You didn't have it. You know, you can't bleed fucking blood out of a turnip, but that's what they think. They don't care. It's an excuse to fuck you. It's nice when you give me consent to let me shove my big 40-inch, why not? It's okay. It's legal. It's fucking legal. Wow. You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It just makes you wonder about how's this going to be within the next year? Another year of this, man. This is accelerated. This bullshit has accelerated from 2 years ago into a colossal fucking overdrive right now. You know, what can you say? What can I say to you? If you don't see it, you are one blind motherfucker, you know? So anyway, I'm going to flip a clip up here, wait for these phone lines alive, and then we'll start answering phones and see what you think about this clip I'm going to play for you right now. Check this out.
On October 29th, 1929, the U.S. stock market faced a devastating crash that resulted in the crisis that we know today as the Great Depression. During that period, millions of Americans lost their jobs. They lost their incomes, and they lost their homes. And countless families faced homelessness and hunger. Some people survived because they started to plant their fruits and vegetables and raise animals to make their meals. But for many others, that wasn't an option. So they had to improvise with the ingredients they had available. Back then, the vast majority of Americans had to stretch every dollar and pinch every penny to get the most food for their buck. Conditions were so extreme that desperate people started to do things that would be unthinkable during normal times, just to have something on their plate. They hunted, they foraged, they learned to make the best of what they had on hand. Canned goods, flour, eggs, and milk sometimes were all families had. And still, they created many different recipes with humble food staples. Those who could eat twice a day were the lucky ones. Poor families only had one meal per day, and parents went hungry at nighttime so they could feed their children. Even though this happened almost one century ago, the struggles of that time are still in the nation's memory, especially because current economic conditions are becoming eerily similar to what happened in the late 1920s and at the beginning of the 1930s. Today, we have the most overvalued stock market in history. The housing market is falling apart, with commercial properties setting off the downfall. The economy is slumping while consumer prices are still soaring, and thousands of companies have already announced mass layoffs this year. Even the United Nations is warning that a depression-era famine will happen again. So, preparing for the next economic and financial disaster is definitely a matter of survival. For that reason, we've compiled some recipes that our parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents made back then out of nearly nothing. Without further ado, here are 20 Great Depression-era recipes we will need soon. 1. Squirrel. While some people only did this when it was roadkill, others actually hunted squirrels to eat. Those were times when panic and desperation were rapidly spreading through our society,
and some Americans had to fight to survive. Eating squirrels was not uncommon in the 30s. Beef was out of the reach of many struggling households, and chickens were kept alive so they could provide eggs, so options were limited. Some prepared it over a fire, but records of the era also show that Americans cooked squirrel at home with some oil or butter or some onions. Let's just hope the ongoing food crisis doesn't evolve into something as extreme as the conditions people faced during the Great Depression.
I had to stop that for a minute. There's not a goddamn thing wrong with fucking squirrel, man. That is a fucking the shit. Okay? All right, some people might not fucking believe me eat squirrel shit, but I'm going to tell you what I do. I'm a squirrel-eating fool. Don't give a fuck. They're delicious, especially in gravy. When you make squirrel and gravy biscuits, oh, fuck, you ain't ate before. Anyway, all right. We'll continue on. Sorry about that. I had to throw it in there.
Otherwise, we may be forced to start doing the same. 2. Desperation Pie. Desperation pies were a Depression-era knockoff of lemon meringue pies. Lemons were near impossible to find at stores, so they called this humble dish made with apple cider vinegar the Desperation Pie. The recipe also had butter, flour, brown sugar, ground cinnamon, ground nutmeg, egg, salt, and water. In some regions, people call it water pie, and for many in that period, it was a comfort food. 3. Chicken feet in broth. This dish is definitely as strange as it sounds, but it can actually be very nutritious and rich in collagen, which is good for your bones, provides hydration, helps to improve your overall health. Cooks would put 2 pounds of chicken feet, some carrots, celery, onions and other veggie scraps they had around on the water and simmer the mixture for several hours. While some strained the ingredients and drank the broth, many people would eat the chicken feet and veggies with both for maximum nutrition. 4. Meatless Meatloaf. Today, meatloaf is a simple and relatively cheap weeknight dinner, but during those times, not everyone could find or afford meat, so they had to be creative. But how do you make it without ground beef? It seems counterintuitive that meatloaf would be served without any meat. That's how it became just loaf. And it was made out of just about anything people had at hand. Literally, anything they had hanging out in the fridge or pantry could be added to it. From liver to raisins, peanuts, carrots, and more, home cooks would choose a base ingredient and mash it. Add some eggs or tomato sauce, pour it into a loaf pan, and cook it in the oven. In some cases, the result was actually similar to a regular meatloaf, but it could also be more like a dessert or bread. 5. Garbage Mashup. Mashups were what people ate when they had to combine all the ingredients they had available to make a meal. The garbage mashup is one such example. Browned potatoes, baked beans, and macaroni salad were usually the base of this dish, and Americans could add any meat, sausages, or bacon to it. Then they'd add onions, chili, mustard, ketchup, and or hot sauce for extra flavor. It was typically served to manual laborers so they could have the energy to complete their long working shifts. 6. Ketchup, mayonnaise, onion, or pickle sandwiches. What do you put on a sandwich when you don't have any meat or cheese to go around? Well, during that era, people would put some ketchup between slices of bread and call it good. They did the same with mayonnaise. And sometimes they had plain onion or pickle sandwiches, which sounds way weirder. If they were lucky, the sandwiches would have a combination of 2 or 3 of these ingredients. 7. Melcorno. Melcorno was a type of ration created by scientists at Cornell University in 1933 when they were looking for inexpensive ways to feed the masses. It was a gruel made from dried powdered milk and cornmeal. It was nutritious and filling. The same scientists came up with a milk wheato a few years later, which used wheat instead of corn. It was served to people who were literally on the brink of starvation. and it actually helped many poor children to survive those hard times. 8. Egg drop soup. Although it has the same name as the popular Chinese soup, we can still find it in many restaurants, this unique dish is nothing like it. During the 1930s, people used to chop some onions, throw some fried potatoes in a pan, and then add some water. Then the mixture was brought to a boil, and eggs were added and scrambled while the water was boiling. Typically, this salty dish was served with toast. Now, you may be wondering why these ingredients were cooked in water instead of being served individually. We're not entirely sure, but papers from that time suggest it was commonly served to workers during the winter. Maybe the whole point was to keep workers warm and fill their stomachs with an easy-to-eat meal. 9. Cooked bread. During the Great Depression, families had to come up with ways to revive foods that had gone past their prime and were no longer fresh. Given that flour prices were soaring back then due to the spike in demand, home cooks would not let some old hard bread go to waste. Usually, they soaked the bread in oil or butter, sometimes water if it needed more hydration, and after that, they'd put it in the oven for a few minutes or fried in a pan. Some people would cut the bread into slices, while others prefer to cook the entire piece and then mash it up. 10. Shoofly pie. This is a classic Amish recipe from Pennsylvania, Dutch country in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. It was published in a newspaper in 1934. This recipe came from a newspaper in the 1930s. It used pretzels as the pie crust, with brown sugar and molasses filling. This pie was ahead of its time, as we still bake pies like this today. Shoofly pie is a crumb cake based in a pie crust. The main ingredients of the filling are molasses, brown sugar, and water. Serving the cake in pie crust made it easier for people to eat it with their hands during that period. Sometimes bakers used pretzels as the pie crust. The name Shoofly pie was borrowed from a brand of molasses that was popular in the U.S. back then. The dish comes in two different versions, wet bottom and dry bottom. The dry bottom version is baked until fully set and results in a more cake-like consistency throughout. The wet bottom version is set like cake at the top where it was mixed in with the crumbs, but the very bottom has a creamier consistency. 11. Navy bean and ham soup. Some popular beans you can find at grocery stores today are cannelloni, baby limas, great northerns, and navy beans. Now, the latter are also known as pea beans and are the smallest of the four. That's why they cook more quickly. They're also milder in flavor, yet very creamy as they simmer. The navy bean soup was made with vegetables, spices, and cooked ham. It was a hearty and tasty meal that was very budget-friendly. This was especially great during cold days when families wanted to prepare an easy dinner. 12. Frozen fruit salad. A very popular dessert during the holidays, frozen fruit salad could be done in many different ways. Whichever canned fruits that were sitting in the pantry with a close expiration date would be used to make this dish. Some versions use whipped cream, others just a combination of the preservation fruit liquid and milk with a little bit of flour, eggs, and literally any other ingredients people had available like nuts, raisins, or marshmallows. The mix was frozen and served like ice cream. It was a nice treat for those who had a sweet tooth. 13. Spaghetti with boiled carrots and white sauce. This is a dish recommended by First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt. It gained huge popularity after the introduction of home economics in schools and colleges during that period. All you needed was to cook some spaghetti until mushy for about 25 minutes, and then mix it with boiled mashed carrots. The white sauce was made from milk, flour, margarine, and any spices people wanted to add. After mixing, it was then poured into a tray and baked to make a casserole. 14. Buttermilk soup. In a 1938 book titled Most for Your Money, Buttermilk soup was listed as one of the most inexpensive soups Americans could make. To do it, you just need to add raisins or nuts, some nutmeg, sugar, salt, and a lemon peel to a quart of buttermilk. Bring that to a boil, then add rice. Cover and boil slowly until the rice is soft. The authors noted that buttermilk should sell for less than half the price of fresh milk, which makes the above soup one of the cheapest and most nutritious we know, besides being a novel change from the usual run of soups. 15. Johnny Cakes. Cornmeal was a kitchen staple that was easily accessible and cost-effective during the 1930s. To utilize this ingredient during hard times, home cooks began making Johnny Cakes, a northeastern bread that families used to enjoy. Though a bit more decadent than cornbread, Johnny Cakes was similar in concept, using cornmeal as their base ingredient. They were a bit richer than the average cornbread, too. Some people describe Johnny Cakes as a sort of thin, fried cornbread pancake hybrid that was made with buttermilk and any cooking fats available, including bacon grease, lard, or vegetable oil. There's no doubt that they provided some sort of comfort and nutrition during the hard times of the Depression. 16. Potato candy. This candy is actually an Appalachian specialty treat that traces back to Central Eastern Europe. It uses potato as a starch for the dough, which some chefs say acts as a sort of marzipan alternative. Despite potato candy's European roots, its peanut butter filling makes it all American. In that era, these candies were incredibly cheap, especially when considering the low cost of peanut butter at the time. Naturally, potatoes have long been a food for hard times, and the 1930s were no exception. That's why potato candies were a beloved snack that could be made with available ingredients and provide a little bit of sweetness in difficult periods. While most kids don't seem interested in these types of candies nowadays, they still remain well known. 17. Stuffed artichokes. Just as stuffed onions, a popular dish that consisted of onions filled with peanut butter, stuffed artichokes were a very common holiday meal. Making it is as easy as it sounds. You just have to cut off the thorns in the bottom so that the artichokes stand upright, and then open up the leaves and stuff the openings with a mix of breadcrumbs, salt, pepper, and garlic. Next, place the artichokes in a pot, fill it halfway with water, let it boil on high heat. After it boils, switch to low heat to allow the artichokes to simmer. The result is a crispy on the outside and soft on the inside, sweet and savory dish that families enjoyed eating during their end-of-the-year celebrations. 18. No toppings pizza. In 2023, Americans are the biggest consumers of pizza in the world. Every year, more than 3 billion pizzas are sold in the United States, according to data reported by the Washington Post. With sauce, cheese, and delicious toppings to choose from, it's no wonder that number is so high. However, during the Great Depression, the version of pizza people could afford to eat seemed way less appetizing. Resources and ingredients were so limited, the term plain pizza was created. It consisted of pizza dough baked in the oven, covered with just butter or margarine, and no toppings. 19. Poor man's pudding. Poor man's pudding is known as good old-fashioned comfort food. It consisted of a simple cake baked in a hot caramel sauce. As the name suggests, it was popular among unemployed people due to its relatively cheap and readily available ingredients. It's just flour, brown sugar, baking powder, milk, and eggs. In Canada, the recipe is known as pudding chômeur, and instead of using brown sugar, Canadians used maple syrup. And 20. Rabbit stew and dumplings. Rabbit stew was a way families found of using rabbit meat without wasting any of it. First, they would bake the rabbit, then they would typically serve the rabbit meat stir-fry. And finally, dumplings with rabbit stew would be prepared and last for however many days it could sit in the fridge. At that time, it was all about stretching what ingredients you have, and people just had to be creative to make it work. To say that life has changed dramatically in the past few years is an understatement. For those who are fortunate enough to still have jobs, making ends meet is no more an issue than normal. But for those who have lost their income entirely, from now on, money will be a bigger problem than ever before. This, however, is not the only burden Americans are facing right now. Grocery stores and big box retailers are reporting empty shelves for several staples once again. And every time we go shopping, prices are up again. Although we genuinely hope that our population doesn't reach the same levels of despair and financial ruin that American families faced during the Great Depression, there are plenty of stats indicating that we are headed to a historic downturn. That's why we must learn from history and get ready for the hardships before they reach us. Thank you for watching.
And there you go. Yeah, well, Yelp took that cooking lesson, you know, to heart, because it's going to be coming. But I don't think some of the things I had a second guess on when he mentioned the word margarine. I don't think margarine was invented yet in 1929, 20, or 30, whatever. I think it was invented like in the 50s, 60s, something like that. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I just don't think, I just can't rattle on. Some reason I don't know that. Why is that? Why do I not know that? Oh my God, there's a fucking malfunction, Mr. Smith. I'm fucking up. Anyway, yeah, if it come down there, I wouldn't worry about a fucking season for any guy. Fuck you. I got to eat, bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's that. Yeah. It's not going to be good here for the police. You know, it ain't going to be good for me. Really? But I wouldn't want to be a cop. People ain't going to fuck with them, man. No, they're out to survive. You know, it's life or death. You know, in terms of life and death for everything, it don't matter. You know, it just seems don't matter. We'll have fucking complete fucking chaos in this country. You know, like pumping all these poor people in here across the border and shit, man. These people are, you know, you ain't coming to freedom. You're coming to fucking disaster. You're walking right into a bad fucking thing, man. Look at you. You're in New York on the fucking streets. You ain't no better off back home where you're at now. But they want that, this whole fucking thing like that. They want it all to be just like that. Man, what the fuck? Why not? Fuck us all. And it's just a handful of people that make these decisions. This shit's getting fucked up by a handful of people. I mean, by fucking Biden, what he did by cutting fucking XL pipeline, open the fucking borders, and the every other bullshit thing he did. Why do you expect, you cannot say it wasn't to be expected. I mean, I said on my show before he won. If he does, we're fucked. And I meant that. Look, here it is. I said it. That was that, man. Plain and fucking simple. I said it way before this motherfucker got close. There ain't no fucking way. I couldn't believe you won anyway. I mean, I just couldn't seem to figure that out. Why is this guy getting so many people to vote for him and he's in the basement of his house? You know, he ain't really out politicking. So I don't get it. You know, it just don't make no sense. Anyway, that's me. That's my opinion. But it does look kind of funny to me. Anyway, hey, I'm going to quit running my mouth, and I'm going to crank up a couple phone lines here. A couple of my friends been sitting back here waiting. They don't have their hands up. They know I don't care about that. I just bring them in anyway.
Hey.
I victimize them like the government.
Hey,
can't help myself. What's up, Gunn?
Hail Biden.
That's it. Hail Biden. Fucking right, buddy.
Hail Biden.
Yeah. Hal Biden.
By the way, Ron, the first margarine was made from beef tallow mixed with water and milk and was developed in 1869 by Hippolyte Maggie Maurice. It was a French deal.
That's who made margarine. That you made margarine. Okay,
yep.
So okay. I guess it was around back then. I didn't know. But you know, margarine's fake.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It ain't real butter.
No.
You know that, don't you?
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said here. The first one was made from beef, tallow, and water. That's it, and milk.
The margarine.
Tallow, water, and milk.
Yep. Margarine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't made from you know, dairy cream. You know, you got to have that cream to make butter.
No.
Right, but it wasn't made out of that.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, today's is made out of plastic, but that's neither here nor there. You know, I can't believe it's not butter. Well, it's not.
I can believe it's not butter. Yeah, I can. Miss Aisha say all the time. Yeah, I can believe it's not butter. Fucking right. Don't tell me I can't. Oh, yes, I can.
Like I said in the chat room, Swirl Sauce Pecan is the shits. Because I had that one time, and it is awesome.
Oh, fuck. Sounds like it. I could think a bunch of illegals here now. How can it illegal people out to be legal? It's well, when you run the fucking world, you know, I guess you can all do what you want. And that's what Biden did. That's exactly what he did. He made this happen for them. And I don't know the benefit. He doesn't even mention the benefit of this. What good is it? What good is the open fucking border? That's what I'm saying. They can't come up with a reason why they did it. Just for the fun of it? Something to do? I mean, come on, man. Really? There's got to be some fucked up fucking reason for it, you know? I mean, and then selling your people to the fucking Chinese. That makes sense, too. Now we understand how they got that fucking money, isn't it?
Well, you know, the Democrats, they want the vote. There's one good reason that they bring all these dumb fucks over here. So they can vote for them. They give them all these perks. They give them all, you know, free food, free housing, free medical, free this, free that, free blowjobs, you know, the whole nine
yards.
Yeah,
but it doesn't last long, Gun.
Well, they just
turn against them, too, man.
They just do it against these motherfuckers. They do it just to get their vote, and then they go fuck themselves. I mean, you know, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they do not fucking care.
But I think these imports have figured that out already. I'm telling you, man.
Well, it could be. But there's the second reason. You know, there's a second reason, and there's a third reason, and there's a fourth reason.
Yeah,
they
never end.
The second reason.
Never-ending reasons. Right.
The second reason is they come over here thinking that they're going to suck off the government tit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they vote Democrat or whatever. It doesn't matter. Then the third reason, got run out of reasons here, they come over there to shit their goddamn babies out and become automatically U.S. citizens. That shit's got to stop, okay? Fuck you.
Right.
Go back,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And
right.
Shit in your own goddamn country, okay?
Right.
Let your own goddamn country take care of you. And here's again. I think today is Mexican Independence Day. Why are we celebrating Mexican independence in the United States? Can you answer me that?
Well,
no.
Are they free Mexico?
Were they freed Mexico from what, Spain? I think Spain used to own them, didn't they? Something like that. But they're celebrating. Well, somebody had to own them because they're celebrating their independence. Who are they celebrating their independence from?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm fucking thinking retarded, but
I think
I've
it was
never
Spain.
Really known
now.
The Mexican government actually have a constitution or anything.
Well, I didn't.
Who's
know.
The
I didn't
president
think so
of Mexico?
Either,
who's the Congress? What's the Senate? I've never heard of none of the people before. Is
no,
that just me? Because have I lost touch or something?
But they're celebrating Mexican Independence Day, just like July 4th, here
by,
in the United States.
Okay, yes. So they're independent here in the United States. Okay, that makes sense.
No, they're celebrating their independence from Mexico, in Mexico. Now you got me fucking confused. God damn.
Yeah, you get it? All right, okay.
Yeah. A Dr. Common Sense has a short take of when we find that for where we at. Mexican independence.
I got Mixler up and running too, folks, just so you know. Not that you give a fuck,
okay.
But I'll let you know.
You know what, that you know, I've never had it. That chicken feet soup sounds like shit's too, Ron.
Yeah. Oh, chicken feet? The feet of chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, man. Yeah. Believe it or not, feet of chicken are fucking edible. They are. They're not bad. You know. So, you know, what can you say? And Robert just
here it is.
In.
Here it is right here. Dr. Common Sense, 7 minutes and 43 seconds. On Mexican Independence Day.
There can you throw it in the chat room?
All it's right. There.
Oh, damn. All right. Let me see
7
if I can pull it off. Yeah, we got all time in the fucking world. We got all time in the world. The end is coming soon. Who cares? You know, fucking gun. Yeah, exactly. It is what it is, bro. Well, it says, no, I'm not going to pull that up. Motherfucker, come on. So I got to paste this bitch. Copy and paste. Son of a bitch.
Copy and paste.
Motherfuck. Can't have nothing nice. Just can't have it. But no matter what the fuck you do. Never nothing nice, man. Nope. Says, no, you ain't going to get this motherfucker to do with the fishing pole. With the horns, happy, and one tooth. Says, well, your search on YouTube.com, it says, fuck you. It does not match any of our documents. So, gun, for some reason. I can't get that.
Must not lock it.
I don't know.
Must not lock it.
Well, you're on Blog Talk Radio, so let's see whether. Let me try it again, man. Give it a shot. Again. Paste. Enter. And fuck you. No, wait a minute. Oh, it came up. I got it. Finally. Maybe we took. Oh, fuck. Oh, Jesus. Apparently, I watched this at some time. Hang tight with me, folks. I'm having technical difficulties here. Goddamn son of a bitch, motherfuck. Goddamn, I'm starting to find something to throw around this motherfucker. All right.
It's a Monday.
Okay, here's this clip, right? You ready? 7 minutes and 52 seconds for this, so prepare for your Mexican ride.
To Common Sense TV, I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense. If you'd like to support us, you can hit us at our Cash App or our PayPal. All those links is below, and I want to thank everybody for all your support because we have been demonetized. Now, I didn't know they were actually having all of these celebrations in the street to celebrate Mexico's independence in the United States of America. Am I missing something? Can I go to Mexico and celebrate the 4th of July in Mexico? Can I go to Africa, say Zimbabwe or somewhere over there, and celebrate the 4th of July? How about I celebrate Columbus Day in another country? We're weak as a country. I don't give a damn who likes it. It's a fact. Your country was trash. You came over here. Now you're blocking off our streets. Most of these liberals won't even want you celebrating the 4th of July in this country. And here we have them blocking off the streets. carrying their Mexico flags and telling us how wonderful it is that they got liberated from Spain, right? Are they liberated today? If it's so liberated, why in the hell are they running and coming to this country, Dean? You see the farce and the whole premise of this, and nobody else is going to say this because they want to be politically correct. I'm knocking down all political correct walls now. I don't give a damn who gets offended. Explain to me, if you're celebrating your independence and your freedom, why in the hell do you leave your country then? Does that make any sense to anybody? You come to another country to celebrate your independence, but you're not in the country because you say it's free, but you ran from that country because you say it's trash and it's not safe. How in the hell is your freedom? Am I missing a point here? Please help me help you. We're going to stop stupidity now. We're teaching common sense. You're enrolled in the university now. And we're going to stop this sheer stupidity and all this political correct trash. Now, explain to me again. I heard in L.A., they've been celebrating it for 77 years. So explain. I got questions. I want to go Columbo on them. I got questions now. So let me see if I got you right. This will be the equivalent of me saying I'm celebrating the 4th of July, the independence of America, but I go to Mexico or Sweden or Russia or Poland to celebrate my freedom in America. How stupid does that even sound? Most people don't have a lick of common sense, and I'm sick of this stupidity. You're telling me that you're in our country celebrating the independence of your country, but you say your country's not safe because the warlords and the drug dealers and all these mafia then took over in your country, but you're celebrating freedom. Does that make any sense to anybody? How in the hell is you celebrating freedom when you ran from the damn country? Can't make this stuff up. I swear I can't. See, we have dealt with stupidity because everybody wants to be political. It's so wonderful. I don't care about you celebrating your culture. I don't care about that. I don't care. You have at it. You can celebrate your culture all the hell you want. This is why I don't even celebrate Juneteenth, because I think it's pure ignorance to celebrate. And nobody likes me saying that, but now that I care. Just think about it. Before you get upset with me, think about what they're saying. We're going to block it because in L.A. they've been doing it for a while, they said, but in Chicago, they just block off the streets. Police is just standing there letting them do it. So you mean to tell me that people who was out here, all of them with their Mexico flags, celebrating how wonderful and their independence, oh, we're so glad we're free. They even interviewed some people. They got a 10-year-old to talk because they wanted to the hone in to make you feel sympathy, but I don't give a damn about none of that. You're telling me that the 10-year-old who's talking told the people he's so proud that they got independence so his parents can come to this country.
It makes me like really proud to be here with my family, that they came here to give me a better life. I'm just really grateful for them for doing that.
Damn, you can't make this stupidity up. I swear you can't. Do people not know how to think anymore? You're telling me that you're proud that your parents brought you to this country to celebrate independence in your country, and you're running from it. Boy, I tell you, I don't know what happened to the way we used to think in this country, but we didn't lose our damn mind now. No logic whatsoever anymore. Nobody can argue me that this makes any sense, that your country is such trash that you ran away from it, but you're over here shutting down, causing traffic in our country because you say you're celebrating the freedom of your country, which is not free because you ran from it. I swear, if I had a penny for all the stupidity that I constantly hear as being intelligent and tolerant, I swear I'd be a billionaire. Because the stupidity that's perpetuated online is just mind-boggling to me. Now, nobody else there, because I'm listening to all these people give their interviews, and they're like, oh, this is so wonderful that they're celebrating this. They're not free, damn it. They just said they ran from their country. How in the hell is they free? You and our country celebrating the freedom of your country, but you say it's trash because you can't stay over there because the warlords run the damn country, but you're celebrating your freedom. Boy, I tell you the truth. I'm gonna get this point across. If I keep repeating it like a commercial, you understand how stupid this really sounds. I'm going to go to Russia. And I'm going to go to Russia. When I get to Russia, matter of fact, I'm going to go to China and Russia. And I'm going to block out the streets in China. You try it in China, they'll do something bad to you anyway. Let's pick China then. We're going to go over to China. We'll take a bunch of Americans. We're going to all move to China. And we're going to block off the damn streets in China to celebrate the 4th of July. But we got freedom over here. Freedom! Freedom! And that's what we're going to celebrate in another country. You don't even understand how stupid that sounds. But I know somebody jackass is going to leave a comment because they're too stupid to figure out what I'm actually saying. Because they ain't got no damn that. That's what's the problem with our country right now. Just think about it. Let me say it slow again. I'm going to say it one more time. You left your country because you said it was dangerous. And you come to this country to celebrate how free your country is. Just think about it. Let it, it should explode like a bomb after that. Just understand what you're saying, how stupid this really sounds. And everybody, these news anchors, is, oh, my God, did you see the wonderful celebration? Oh, you out your freaking mind? No, I didn't see it. No, it's not wonderful. This is called America. Is this still called America? Is this still called the great U.S. of A.? This is not called Mexico. It's not called Zimbabwe. It's not called Russia, China, none of this. It's called America, right? If you want to celebrate this, these other countries' freedom, go to that country and celebrate. I bet they didn't even celebrate this hard in freaking Mexico right now, unless the drug cartel allows them, because the president over there is bought and paid by the drug cartel anyway. Just like our president over here, I'm sorry, your president, Joe Biden, is told what to do by our intel community. It's a fact. So don't go to another country telling me how proud you are of your independence when you're scared to go back to your own damn country. Unbelievable.
There you go. All right.
But we're free. But we're free.
But you're
we're
free,
free
yeah.
baby. We're free.
Exactly.
And we even got to back up the boot, baby. We even got a backup. I'll be damned. Some bitch.
Yes, you do.
Chucked me off with a goddamn broom pump. Motherfucker.
There you go.
Wow. Man.
Life is perfect.
Never would have thought it.
Celebrate freedom right in your own fucking, you know, in somebody else's
when
country.
When you got backups too. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Crazy, ain't it? That just, I don't know.
Guys, you were there.
Well,
I don't know if left last time, did you? They did the whole constitutional show last night on Robert's show, and I said, look, I brought up and I threw it to you a couple of times, but I brought up the fact that there are certain people. I said, hey, look, New York State Pack has these medicines that you know this, that, and the other that cannot be used or else, you know, that type of thing. And there's certain people that, due to their anger issues and instability, do not deserve to have a pistol, a carry license. And that's, that's true.
Hell no.
Right? That's
the
truth.
You
right?
know, and you know who? It's,
yes,
it's the coward George Zinser. Of Firefox News, suck you in the asshole online. That's the person that you're talking about. I'll tell you. Coward asshole.
I said, look, I'm not coming off of that because this is a guy, these people. Yeah, you have your constitutional right to bear arms, but there are certain people that, because of who they are and what they and their, you know, and their thing and their anger, they cannot be allowed to get a hold of a gun. I mean, the loophole for Sinzer is that he has that 22, right? You know, that's the loophole for Sinzer. They allowed him to get that 22, but he can't get a pistol. You know,
thank God he can't.
That's
a pistol because of his anger
right.
issues. I mean, that's mental illness. Okay, you can't. You know, he gets a pistol per minute, starts working around there.
But they don't pay attention to that shit. They don't pay attention.
Well, they do.
To the mental problem. They don't do that for a guy.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Well,
unless you lie on that forum,
Well, that's what Hunter Biden's going
deal.
Up for.
Okay.
But he ain't going up to
that's
shit.
That's
what he did. As soon as he gets fucking convicted, daddy's going to pardon.
Oh, that, oh yeah. They're,
no
they're
big
not,
fucking deal.
They're not going to.
They're making more out of this than the fucking that's going to happen. It ain't going to matter. Fuck.
Fuck yeah. He ain't going to goddamn.
Exactly. Walk,
now,
talk. Him and his daddy both.
Rich as a
motherfucker. Committed blackmail, wire fraud, all kinds of shit. And it's all right.
All
it's okay. They
shit.
Can do that.
Well,
yeah.
Now,
fuck you little peon people. You poor motherfuckers. Those big criminals. We can do it. Hey, I'm going to become a politician. Fuck, if I can steal from the people, fuck, why not? Why wouldn't you? Easy money, man. Fuck it.
Easy money, ain't it?
That's exactly what it is. Easy money. Easy money.
It is easy money.
Yeah.
Of course it's easy money because you can fuck everybody. Because
the majority of
people
are fucking stupid. We're smarter than them. That's what they
think.
That's
right.
That's exactly what it is, man.
It
Nancy
is.
Pelosi, she's one of the key ones, you know. Her whole campaign is for the children. Like she's just won the fucking Miss America contest. How she rocks her arm back and forth. You know, it ain't a wave. They twist her hand, you know, in the air. You know? Yeah,
really?
That's what she
it
does.
Is.
For the children.
It's,
for the children.
It's
for
the children. And, oh, my God.
For the
children.
Yeah,
we're going to
save it all for the children.
For the children. For the children.
Yeah.
You know what's bad? You know what's
bad?
He had
a fight with his lover with a fucking hammer. That ought to be a fucking child story. You know, it should be fucking, you know, Scholastic books.
And what's bad about it on some of the streets of these major cities, probably even Dallas, I would imagine, you got these little
anywhere,
13, 12-year-old punks.
Mm-hmm.
What, 12, 13-year-old punks that goddamn shoot you for a fucking dime.
Yeah,
it
they don't know no better.
Punks.
They've been taught
they don't
that
know
that's okay. They've been taught
it's
that's okay,
okay,
man. That's right. Yeah, just abuse the other guy. Fuck, take your shit. Fuck him. He ain't nobody. But anyway, I got another clip here on that Mexican thing. This just came out a day ago in Chicago. So anyway, let's check this out. They say Mexican Independence Day crowds force Chicago streets to close.
On delay.
There you go. Hey, you know what I mean, gringo? Hey, man, you know, we're going to go downtown Chicago, man. We're going to get all fucked up and they don't even know, man. We don't even have this plan, man. We're just going to go and take that motherfucker over, man. You know what I'm saying, man? Fuck them, man. Fuck them gringos, man. We can fucking do what we got to do, man. Fuck them cocksuckers, man.
Stop by Taco Bell, man.
Yeah, man. Me and Jose are going to hook up down there, man. We're going to get down there. You don't get, you know, down there since you can, man. You don't get, you know, maybe some chicks down there and shit, you know, shit like that. So. Anyway, let's check this out, man. Let's check out this clip, man. Here we go. Hang on. All right, be cool, man.
And we begin tonight with breaking news. I'm Scott Schneider. Dawn is off. Mexican Independence Day celebrations now in full swing downtown. We've been telling you about city plans to prevent those long caravans and keep the streets open, but it looks like the revelers are taking over. Now, here's a view from above. Sky Fox is up tonight. We've seen fireworks going off, and we've seen huge crowds moving in. Now, this was the scene on Michigan Avenue within the past hour. As you can see, gridlock, caravans of cars flying the Mexican flag, and a huge crowd on the move. But we've also seen this. City trucks moved in to block traffic and control the flow of the crowds on Michigan Avenue. Let's get right to Casey Cronus, who's been tracking the buildup from Little Village to the Loop. Casey?
Hey, Scott. Well, this is only the start. We can expect to see cars draped with Mexican flags through at least Sunday. Here's a look at some of the action earlier tonight on Michigan Avenue. As you mentioned, it was gridlocked, but now things are starting to settle down because streets are becoming blocked. Fireworks are going off downtown, and while Chicago police weren't originally planning on closing down any streets, that changed very quickly. The city's Office of Emergency Management in just the last hour making the call to close the Central Business District to traffic. It's closed from Division to 18th Street and from Lakeshore Drive to Halsted Street. You can probably hear some of the honking still behind me as a lot of those cars were already within this area. Now, residents who live or work in the Central Business District will be allowed in at certain intersections and access points. Access points include decision in Halstead and 18th in Indiana. Plus, ramps on the Kennedy Expressway are blocked to keep people from coming downtown. Meanwhile, the festivities are not only underway downtown, but across the city. In Little Village, where the heart of Mexico beats in Chicago, honking and cheering can be heard for blocks on the eve of Mexican Independence Day. Here at 26th and Albany, the 26th Street Parade is just hours away from kicking off.
We will have over 80 floats. We asked every float to represent a different state in Mexico to bring in a more cultural element.
Meanwhile, Elmer Romero is gearing up for a busy weekend of his own.
I am amazed with this neighborhood because of the Mexican presence here.
Selling jewelry in Pilsen, made from silver mined in Mexico City of Taxco.
The hummingbird is very important in Mexican culture.
It's a really beautiful thing to see. We encourage people who come to the parade to stop by the different restaurants and shops and to really support our small businesses on the Little Village corridor. There's a variety of delicious food and beautiful artwork that they can buy and take a little bit of Little Village with them.
The 26th Street Parade is set to kick off at noon tomorrow and will wrap up around 2 o'clock at 26th and Costner. Meanwhile, you'll also be seeing other flags because today is Guatemala's Independence Day as well. Scott?
Casey, I could hear the horns and the honking from inside the building here, but the good news right now, largely peaceful, right?
That's right, Scott. So far, we haven't heard of any major incidents that have occurred tonight. We will continue to check in with police. But right now, just a lot of noise, a lot of honking, fireworks, people, of course, hanging out the windows that officials do not want to see. But we're seeing it like we have in years past. But so far, very peaceful. And we hope it stays that way.
All right. So we're going to get it. You know, they got this many Mexicans. Next week is Guatemalans. Then the next week are the South Africans. Then whoever else? The Chinese? They're in the city. And it's all coming across the border. But they're all coming for the parties. You know? See that? See what I mean? They're just coming for the parties. Uh-huh. I mean, that goes to show you how many fucking, wow, how many Mexicans are in this country. Wow. You know, you got a whole fucking Chicago City being blocked up by these motherfuckers. There's quite a few of them around, you know, so, yeah, well, fuck, why not? Why not? Nothing I can do about it. Nothing. Oh, you can vote. Oh, man. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I have. I got what I wanted. No. So, you know, man. I don't know, man. It just this whole thing with Biden is going to, you know, it's thrown this country into one fucking tailspin. It's unbelievable. And there's like people, well, I don't see it happening. It's no big deal. Okay, well, tell me if you go to the grocery store. When you go to the grocery store, tell me, come back to me and tell me. Like tonight, you know, saltine crackers come in a box. You know, you buy a box of crackers. You know what I mean? You get like four square tubes of crackers, mm-hmm. right? And a box of crackers. What's mm-hmm. the average price of those? What is the average price of a box of fucking crackers? You know, $2, $2.50. Not no more. They're $4 a box. That's $1 a sleeve of crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Flour. Baked flour. And a little bit of salt in packaging.
Don't even talk about the price of the, you know, of the, like, Ritz's and things of that nature, you know.
Of what?
That Ritz crackers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cheez-Its. Even fucking Cheez-Its are like $5.50 a box now, man. You know, potato yep. chips. Look at the price of potato chips. It's fucking insane, you know. You know, I seen one tonight at the grocery store, like 2 for $9. Okay. two for fucking nine. I'd rather buy a bag of potatoes and make my own, you know? Fuck.
Hey, that. A lot of people may do that. Maybe not, you know, but
you can make your own fucking potato chips, man. Many times. You got a meat slicer, you're good to fucking go. You know what I mean? You can cut that potato thin as a motherfucker, and you're good to go. Leave the fucking skins on it, too. You don't have to worry about that shit. And as soon as it's fried, throw some salt on it, some seasoning salt, barbecue flavor, whatever the fuck you want. There you go. Cheddar, you know, cheddar flavoring. You know, sour cream. Or was it, what is it, fucking, I think it's sour, what is it, sharp cheese and sour cream or some shit like that. You know, you can get all that flavoring. So, you know. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
And think about it. Most, if you want to be consistent about it, a big, large bag of fucking french fries is like two potatoes. You know it?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how many slices do you get? And you know they all come cooked, you know, fucking, you know, all fucked up, bumpy and shit. They ain't flat and shit like a Pringles chip, because Pringles chips are fucking, that whole thing's made out of paste. A potato paste. They turn a potato into fucking paste and they fry it in a form. They get fried in a fucking form. You know what I mean?
So. Right. And that's the thing. I mean, I go to the store here and get a bag of potatoes that has, 15 potatoes in the bag, maybe?
About 10-pound bag, I mean. 5, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, usually come.
20-pound bag, and out of that 20-pound bag, you make what? How many potato chips out of that 20-pound bag?
Well, you fuck it, bigger 20-pound bag has about fucking what? 26 potatoes in it, or max, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood. A lot of potatoes in a 20-pound bag, yeah. A lot of them. But like I said, you want a big, decent, fat bag of potato chips, two potatoes, you got it. Because you remember how thin that how many cuts are coming out of that one potato? You know, because that potato is sliced damn near as thin as fucking paper. You can see through it practically. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So potato chip ain't cut that thick. So how many slices do you think you can get out of one potato? You know what I mean? So, you know. And then the whole other thing, the trick of that is, to where, you know, the big, gigantic slices of potato chip in your bag in the top, that's to make up for room. You know what I mean? That's how it works out. You know, it's not, you're not buying by flat weight. It looks like it's more than it actually is. And nowadays, now they've gotten worse about it. You get less potato chips with a bigger aired up bag. The bag's fucking aired up. They blow air in that bag before they seal it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it looks like there's more to that bag than there is inside of it. There's only about maybe a quarter of the bag inside got anything in it. 3/4 of that fucking bag air.
It is the same thing.
Look at a lot of things, like fucking sugar. Fucking sugar used to come in a 5-pound bag, now it comes in a 4-pound bag. But you're paying a 5-pound bag price. You see what I mean?
Shrinkflation.
Yeah, right, shrinkflation. Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. And they constantly do it.
I mean,
and like I said, when I seen the price, price of diesel here hit $4.44 today, kind of fucking shocked me. We've never seen gas. The highest price when Obama was in office was $3.69, and I was bitching then, thinking $4.44. I ain't fucking bitching now. People are widely fucking mistaken with me. I had a call today to do a fucking transport.
Yes,
we're not muted, fucker.
Gas prices, there's some places, like in California, this is one place in California that's got $9 gas, you know? It's like, this whole shrinkflation thing, I used to get a family size box of cereal, right? And in that family size box of cereal, you probably get, I don't know, 15-18 bowls of cereal, maybe.
All right.
Only. Yeah. Nowadays, they make a family box, but it's not a family size box. It's a lot of air in it.
It's for a small family. Anyway. I'm serious, these fucking douches. Anyway, the price of fuel in California right now, the average price of gasoline right now is $5.578 a gallon. Diesel fuel is $6.31.4. Usually it's 0.9. This is 6.314. The current average price. So $6.31 a gallon. Okay. Think about that. Think if you needed 100 gallons times 6. You know what I mean? That's $600 for 100 gallons of fuel.
Well, how much did it take fill up 18-wheelers?
There's about 200, 400-gallon tanks in them.
Yeah.
So think about it, man. Think about it. It's going to hurt. A month ago, the price of diesel in California was only $5.68. So now it has jumped from 68, so we say 80, 90, 1, 2, 3. It's jumped up a fucking dollar within a month. So, you see, that much increase in that shorter period of time is not cool. You know what I mean? So, and they're loving it. These gas fucking companies are loving this.
Of course they're loving it. Hell yeah, they're loving it. Damn right they're loving it.
And just think of the tax. See, the other thing, the reason why raising tax, the higher the price of fuel, the more tax they make. That's done on a percentage, not a price. You know what I mean? People don't understand that. You know, it's only 3%. Yeah, 3%. That doesn't mean 3 cents. I mean, it's percentage, you know? I mean, you can calculate it by one, you know, every 10 bucks is, you know, or every dollar is like fucking, 7 cents per dollar? So $10 is 70 fucking cents.
Isn't that 3% per gallon? That's per gallon, right?
No, that's per purchase. Yeah, right.
Kind of, yeah.
But it totals out. The whole point, Gelson, you're not going to buy 1 gallon. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing.
Right.
So if you got 3%, but no, it ain't 3%. California's probably fucking, 13-14%? Oh, yeah. Doing it for the money, man. Fuck yeah, free money. Fuck. That's why gas is so high anyway, because mostly the taxes on it.
It's all tax.
Right. Right. And, you know, gas stations don't make much money off fucking fuel. They don't. They don't make much. Make a penny, maybe a penny and a half per gallon. That ain't much, man. You know, you sell 100 gallons, it's a dollar. Wow. That ain't shit. See what I mean?
Get this one. Furnace Creek, California. Regular gas, 8.75.
What is it?
$8.75.
$8.75, motherfucker. But you see what I'm talking about? How the collapse is coming? They're fucking doing it, man.
Run.
It's nonstop. Run. You're fucked. Yeah, man.
Run.
In that particular station, diesel,
Mike, hang on, please.
What's that?
Think
yeah, Mike, hold on. Mike, shut up for a second.
Thanks for your tip.
Hey, what are you saying, Gun?
Let me jump in. What's up, Ron? What's up, guys? What's up, Gun? I just want to let you guys know I got an electric car. I got a Hyundai Ioniq 5, and I have been driving it for the past 3 or 4 months. You guys got any questions you want to ask about it? Just to let you know, I don't know what the gas prices are. It's like $4 or something like that right now.
I do.
You do.
I got a question. Is your fire insurance up to date?
Yeah, I think so.
It better be.
Why?
It better be. Because probably things will probably burn down to the ground one of these days. That's why.
You know, I saw a car on the highway on fire not too long ago. I was like, what the hell? I've never seen a car on the highway on fire. There was no accident. It was just like, it was no accident. It looked like the car was just on fire for no reason.
Yep.
It might have been an EV. It might.
Could have been. Yeah. They do. The EVs are more likely to catch on fire, more possible to catch on fire than a fuel, a fuel car. Yeah, the EVs are just blowing up all over the fucking place. Even the bikes are starting to blow up. You know, electric bikes and shit.
Right.
I just seen
you know how they work, right? Ron, you know how they work. They're little bitty individual battery cells. Little bitty, about the size of a double A battery, maybe just a hair bigger.
Right.
And they got that liquid lithium in it. Now when that stuff is exposed to oxygen, boom, it starts burning. Okay? One little bitty battery, and they got 5,000 or 6,000 of them some bitches in an electric vehicle. So when one goes off, it's a cascading event. That one goes off, it sets the other one off, it sets the other one off, and pretty soon you have a raging inferno. That takes 25,000 gallons of water to put out.
Right.
Yeah. Better have your fire insurance. Better have your fire insurance on that thing.
And
on your house.
Yeah.
And on your house if you park it in your garage. Because they just poof out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how an electric car can be any more dangerous than a regular combustion car. You guys actually, like in a combustion car, there's actually fire going on.
Yeah.
You said that in an electric car, there's like sparks. But in a combustion engine car, there's fires everywhere.
But
every time you press on the gas, the pistons are shooting fire up.
Wait a minute.
It's combustion engine. That's what it's meant to do.
Yeah.
But
the problems with electric cars and batteries get so fucking hot. That's the problem with it.
That's not true, Ron.
Yes, it is. Sorry.
So during the winter, there's an actual, they're starting to add it into the EV cars now where there's a heater that actually heats up the batteries. Because when the batteries are hot, it's actually quicker to charge the EVs when it's hot.
Right. Let me finish.
Right.
Let me explain something to you. Talking about, bro.
Yeah.
The point is, it's not the battery itself. I mean, it's ignited. Yeah, the battery does get ignited when they do catch fire. A lot of times, it's a wiring fucking issue. You know, where a wire shorts out in them and they catch. That's what happens.
Yep.
Regular cars have those issues too, Ron. Regular cars have wiring issues too.
And they have caught on fire that way. There's no doubt about it. They have. But EV cars are more acceptable to that is the problem.
I've only seen one car on the highway that was on fire. And I don't know if it was an EV car. I've not heard of any
but you
EV
need look,
car
look at
on the
statistics
that has
right.
been
Just
caught on fire for no reason.
Right, man. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with EV cars. I'm not against them at all. I really ain't, man. I built one when I was in school. I mean, it's, you know, this ain't nothing new. This technology is not nothing new.
The problem that I see right now is there's so many. I'm going to come out and say what I really want to say, okay? So if I offend somebody, please forgive me. But I feel that the problem these days is with the older generation being scared of technology. I've come on this show and I talk about cryptocurrencies and what do most older people say? Oh, it's being used to manipulate and control you. Now it's the electric cars. The electric cars come out. Oh, they're here to control you. They don't want you to use gas. These electric cars use gas, even though it's not true. These electric cars are, I would think, it's the future. My car does more than a combustion engine car because it has more power put to it.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you do for a living?
Sure.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a field engineer. I heard you talk about things that I do too, by the way, Gunn.
Here's my issue with the electric car. I love the concept of it. Okay. Don't get me wrong about that. But here's the point.
Right.
If you're going to make a long distance trip to that motherfucker and you don't come to where there's a charger, you're fucked. There's no way
around.
That's
right.
You're just fucked.
That's right.
So that's
true.
The pickup truck that came out, that one, I can't remember the name, but they came out with them. And I've seen studies on them, everything else like that. They're like, you know, they're fucking worthless. I mean, they only go for so long. I mean, they have the torque. They have the tow power. I mean, that's great. But you can go back to the concept, because I'm an engineer, and the point is you got to learn every concept of electricity, okay? Like all your big trains, big train engines that pull all that freight. I mean, tons of shit, right, in a train. Well, that's an electric engine, too. That's electric. It runs off a diesel generator is what it's running. That big loud sounding engine, that's just a generator running. But it's powering that big electric engine, because electric engines have much more torque than a gas burner.
Torque motor.
You know what I mean? Or a fuel burner.
Torque.
They do. The torque is much better.
Torque.
You know? Yeah, direct torque, man. We're talking a lot of torque. A lot of torque. Pull a train.
Here's the thing, Ron. When the internet first came out, not everything was there. Mm-hmm. It took time for us to get to the level that we are right now. You talk to old timers. I'm pretty sure you know this, Ron. At one time, it took 2 days to download a JPEG file. You had to set it up overnight.
Oh, yeah.
You had to set it up overnight before you got it, an actual JPEG. A JPEG, not even 1 megabyte file. But look at us now. I'm talking to you over the web. Every second I'm talking to you, I'm spending like 10, 20 megabytes every second just talking to you through the web. So things take time. Man, why the fuck does this guy always come on here and complain? Things take time to
electric
progress.
Cars
you cannot just jump into the future. You cannot see this shit?
Yeah, well, hey, go
no,
ahead. Keep
go
talking,
ahead.
Man. Dude, give guys a second.
Go ahead. Who's a faggot? Who's a faggot? I want to know. Who's a faggot? Yeah, this guy just called.
I said electric cars are for fags. Simple as that. They're bullshit. It's a scam. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to destroy this country and the economy.
See, here we go. Here we go. There's always one
take
idiot
power
that
equipment.
Comes on here. Go ahead.
Take power equipment, for example.
No, no.
Okay? You own a business? I own a business. Okay? When they come out with that battery-operated power equipment, you can't use that commercially. You cannot use that equipment commercially. Okay? So that's just an example
about?
Right there.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Clean the dick out of
your
ears. Let me explain it.
Man.
Battery-operated tools, power equipment.
Man? You hear this shit? What the fuck are you talking about? We're talking about electric
cars. Don't you understand what I'm saying?
Power tools, man. No, I don't.
Yeah.
That's why I keep asking you. What the fuck are you talking about? If I did, I wouldn't
ask
you.
Do I speak a foreign fucking language or something? I'm trying to explain it to
you.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying?
What you're talking about. No, you're just not speaking about what you're talking about.
Wait, hold on, guys. Hold on, man. Fuck, hold on. Hang on.
Are you
talking about electric cars
for
power?
Calls me a faggot? Yeah.
No, he didn't call you a faggot. No, he didn't.
Nah,
he
man.
Said people
no,
drive more fags. That's what he said.
No, you came on here trying to call me a faggot, man. What the fuck is your problem?
No, if I wanted to call
you
a faggot, I would.
I'm
but now if he's getting
show,
smart with me, I will.
No, I will get smart with you because you just came on here just to debate me and argue with me.
I want to debate you about electric cars. You're absolutely right. Why? You take offense to that?
Because I think you're a racist piece of shit.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that comment. Thank you. I take that very nicely. Thank you.
Hi, Hitler.
Yeah, thank you. 88. Now, back to electric cars. Okay.
Fuck man. I don't feel like even talking anymore, man. Fuck you, man. You're a racist piece of shit.
What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? You want
to
run away?
I don't like talking to idiots. That's what. Nah, I don't like talking to idiots.
Well, you can't have a conversation. You can't have a conversation.
No, man, I don't want to educate you. There are certain people that
you can't educate me.
With my knowledge. That's right. I can't educate you. That's why I don't want to. With Ron and these people, I can elevate them. But someone like you, I don't
want. You're not helping nobody with that nonsense talk. That new world order crap, that woke crap.
Take care, Ron. Take care, Ron. And it was nice talking to you.
All right, brother.
Peace, man.
Yeah, good. Go take it in the ass. Anyway, back to the electric cars. If you use that as an example, the power of failures of the power equipment out there, they have battery-operated weed eaters, battery-operated lawnmowers. Yeah. You cannot use that equipment commercially. So how are you going to use electric cars or as 18-wheelers going down the road or bulldozers or you know, or your heavy equipment out there? How are you going to use that as electric? How are you going to do that? You can't. So how are they going to get around that? There's no explanation of that. Everyone's talking about the electric car. Look how nice it looks. You know?
They're trying, bro. They're trying. The fucking school buses are electric.
I know.
They got electric school buses. Which I think is the most dangerous thing you could ever do. You're rolling on 100 fucking microwaves going off at one time that fucker ever lit. You know what I mean?
Is this Joe?
Yeah, yes, sir, it is.
Okay, so Joe, you're right. I mean, I remember a few years ago we were talking with another guy, a certain guy that Gunn knows very well, and we were talking about the fact that New York was going to go to electric school buses.
You talking about Ron Reich?
No, we're talking about the guy with the initial G and S.
That was a coward. Fart liquor.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we were talking about these guys. New York City was going to go to electric school buses, right? And how unfeasible that is, because one, how many batteries are you going to have to put into one of those school buses to make it able to go? With these cars are catching on fire. What's going to happen with school buses with near 100 kids on it, plus, you know, books, computers, and things of that nature? And two, the other thing is, what do school buses do? When they go into these neighborhoods, they start and they stop. They start and they stop. They start and they stop, right?
That's correct.
Right, and so it's like, That's using battery juice. That would be using battery juice. That would be using power. Let alone if you happen to be up in New York City and then you need a heater in the bus during the wintertime, right? And it's like, that's using power. The more power you use in these things, and it's the same thing for these cars. If you have a family of, say, three or four, mom, dad, and two kids, and you want to go on a road trip someplace, well, what are you going to do? You got a bunch of luggage you can bring in with you, probably an ice chest with drinks and sandwiches and stuff in it, plus the human cargo.
Hello?
Is this
Hey!
Hello.
It worked!
Yes, it did. Yeah,
that's my point, Joe.
You're right.
Yeah. The electric vehicles don't think it through.
No, I know. They don't. And it's the Green New Deal crap, too. You know, they think it's going to, you know, the environmentalists, these faggots out there that with this Rainbow Coalition, and they can't stand America. They can't stand anything good about it. That's why I made that comment about muscle cars. You know how muscle cars, you know, 1957, you know, classic cars. Every guy loves those. What are you going to do with electric cars? You know, rev it up. You know, what? Oh, come on. You know, that's faggot crap, man. You know, I mean, as simple as that. You know, and they can't stand the nucleus of this country and the foundation. Look, the combustible engine is what, you know, look, the industrial revolution, everyone heard of that. Look, you're not electric. It's not going to work, man. Well, everybody comes on at 5 o'clock rush hour. What are they going to do? Everybody's going to plug their cars up? Well, you can't hold the power grid now. They're having blackouts out west. You know, come on. Think about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, what people don't understand that, because people are not in the engineering trades like me and Ron are. We understand this shit.
Yeah.
This looks like the guy that just left. He don't understand that. He thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay, but it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with Ron. It's the greatest. I mean, the electric car concept is great. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the battery. No. The battery
technology
is not there. The battery technology is not there.
That's right.
When you have
a
regular car, if a regular car catches on fire, and Ron, y'all know this, you're a firefighter, it's like burns at 1,700 degrees versus an electric vehicle car fire burns at, what, 3,000 or 4,000?
Yeah, and you ain't going to put it out.
Fire.
You ain't going to put the bitch
out. You ain't putting it out with water.
We were trained in those. We were trained in electric cars when they first came out. Well, actually, before they came out. But anyway, you ain't going to put it. Just stand there and watch it burn. And that till it's done.
I didn't even know that. So you could taught me something new, actually. I didn't know that.
Well, go listen.
Yeah, water will not phase it. Foam won't phase it either. Nope. It'll burn right through that foam.
Nope.
It'll dry like a fucking beef jerky, man. You can pump it long, and it ain't gonna matter. It's got too much accelerant. Battery acid has and lithium has way too much accelerant mix. You know, it's like a fucking blowtorch. You know, like if you take
statement
and try to put out a fucking blowtorch, you ain't going to do it, you know?
You ain't going to do it. I seen a while ago where they had a truck fire on YouTube. It was just a bobtail truck, right? And it was just a little bitty fire. It was barely coming out from under the hood. And I lost count at 10 of fire extinguishers that they used. They couldn't put it out with 10 plus fire extinguishers.
Nope, you're not.
It finally burned to the fire department.
You're not.
In them
Teslas. Everybody understand. Here's the issue why these cars catch on fire. And, like, this guy wouldn't really let me explain myself to him to the point, the reality of what happens. These cars are on the road. Roads will vibrate anything that's rolling on top of it, okay? Any road, anywhere, there's no such thing as a perfect fucking road. You're going to be bumping. That your shock absorber goes up and down, up and down. This thing continuously bounces up and fucking down to the whole fucking duration of the ride, right? Well, at the same time, this component called the battery that's under the belly of this motherfucker is getting jerked around a lot, okay? So then there's thousands of electrical wires, tons of them, okay? Well, guess what? They get hot. They might get rubbed, you know, by the vibration. They're getting rubbed, and they become fucking what they call raw. Okay, that means the wire inside of the other wire is going to make contact with it. There's your igniter. That's what starts your fire, right? So, you know, because once it starts melting the other ones, and they start making connections and shit, well, and finally it gets to the point where it's just gone south, and there's nothing else you can do about it. You know what I mean? That's the problem.
Yeah.
They're not set up properly. They're not wired right, one thing. I mean, everything looks all fine and dandy once you put one together, but they're finding facts of what it is. The wiring is fucking rubbing to where it loses the insulator on it, and it's contacting with the ground or something, and they'll make the fucker catch. And some, it depends on the out of the wire. Depends out of the wire. It could fucking make fucking ground contact and flash a flashbulb.
Have they had any
welding rod fucking straight into the battery and say, fuck you, I'm going up, bitch. What happens when you put positive and negative together? You got heat. That's what electric.
You got heat.
Like heat. So you put the positive and negative together. What do you expect? That's going to get hot. You know, it's the way it is.
Even a little bitty fender bender. If you rupture one of those little bitty AA batteries in there,
they can be smaller than a speaker wire. They can be smaller than a fucking speaker wire. Yeah, cause a problem.
Damn.
A lot of people don't think about that. They don't teach that, you know. And right now you see that shit's going on with UAW up in Detroit and all that shit. They're all on fucking strike. They're saying fuck these UVs, man. They're like fuck you, and they're cutting out fucking workers and all sort of shit. The workers want like fucking 40% more pay. Fuck you, cock eaters. You know, I can't blame them.
Yeah, if you're gonna get rid of our job, fuck it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to fucking pay us, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Fuck yeah, man. That's the thing, and where's that coming from? Where's all this coming from? China. And China's got, what, fucking miles of fucking electric cars sitting there fucking going to shit. They can't
going up in smoke, too.
Well, that's the buying your own new computers burn up.
Yeah, China's not going to report the truth.
Yeah, you know it takes 80-ton bulldozers to mine lithium. 80-ton bulldozers. Mm-hmm. They're diesel. You know how much fuel them motherfuckers burn through every hour? Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So what happens with the price of diesel the way it is right now? That means the price of that lithium is going to go up more and more.
I read somewhere during the work day at one of these mines, they'll go through 2,000 gallons of diesel per bulldozer. 2,000 gallons of diesel per 8-hour shift or 12-hour shift workday.
But you know something?
Wow.
You know something, Gunslinger? Listen, the fossil fuels, we're not in danger of burning up. We got so much fuel, man. There's plenty of that, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. There's tons.
Oh, yeah. We're sitting on a gold mine. Yeah. We're sitting on a gold mine.
Look, they've had, and this is documented, they've had wells that they have pumped dry all over the country. Basically, well, hell, all over the world.
Here's your gun.
They come back 6 months later, and the fucking things are full again.
Exactly.
Where did it come from? Was somebody out there squirting it back in as they was pumping it out or waiting 6 months and go back and fill the well back up? No. Oil is a naturally occurring, renewing substance. We don't know. We don't really understand it, really, where it actually comes from. They say dinosaurs, bullshit. There wasn't enough goddamn dinosaurs in the whole goddamn world to make the so-called fossil fuel. Because we're pumping billions of fucking barrels every other day out of the ground. For the past, 60, 70 years? Shouldn't we have fucking dried up by now? If that was true.
you really want me to fuck your head up? You really want me to fuck your head up? You guys? I'll fuck your head up really bad. We don't even need crude oil.
No,
don't
we
even
don't.
Need it.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't.
Weed.
Hemp oil.
Weed.
Marijuana.
Weed.
Yeah. Hemp oil. Henry Ford started his first car with the same shit.
Really?
See what I mean? Yes. Fuck yeah, man.
I didn't know that.
Hemp oil. Yes, sir. Sure can. You can get oil. And the funny thing about it, you can grow shit 3 or 4 times a year. You can grow shit abundant. The only reason people don't get it why marijuana was actually made illegal. It was for the Hearst family. The big paper people in the newspaper business owned all the log mills and all that shit. Remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were making paper and shit out of fucking weed. They was. It's hemp. I mean, if there's not really...
And they can't really tell the difference between, like, you know, pot and hemp. So they made hemp illegal. Even though everything used to be made out of hemp. Hemp was probably the biggest crop there was.
Right.
And, you can make hemp
pretty
concrete that's more durable.
Right.
You know, it's more durable than bamboo.
They knew the grade of it. It was simply, there was not enough THC to get you high. There wasn't. Just wasn't there. Okay. Because it was the same crop over and over again. You know, so many times that seed's been ran through, it dies as far as any potency. But it still produces the plant. And that's what they were growing for, the plant. And, they made tons of shit up. I mean, clothes, oil.
Yeah, didn't Henry Ford make one of his first cars almost entirely out of hemp?
He fired it with hemp oil. That's how he drove it, how he started it.
Engine.
Yeah. The oil. Yeah, he made gasoline out of the hemp oil and oil for the crankcase. Out of hemp.
Actually, the first one was alcohol. They burned alcohol because when they would go out in the country on a country drive, if they were running on low on fuel, they just go to a farmer. Well, all the farmers made alcohol, and they just buy it from the farmer.
Right. But the first one, he fired it off hemp oil, Gunslinger. First car started.
Well, the very first car.
The very first
one,
right. Yeah. But afterwards, the alternative to alcohol came in. Right, right.
Yeah.
Because the moonshiners and shit. You know, alcohol's flammable. That's what you
That's
need,
right.
the flammable content. That's all it is. And you know, the other thing funny people don't really understand about cars is your car does not run off the liquid part of that gasoline. It just burns off the vapor
it's
of
the vapor.
It.
Vapor
right.
of it.
I mean, there's a guy that got fucking killed out in Arizona because he figured he could use a coffee pot to percolate gasoline to get just the fucking the shit off it. You know, he had it's called a gas boiler. Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy. But he had a stick Pontiac Catalina, okay? Big old land yacht, motherfucker. And he drove this thing over 200 miles on 1 gallon.
Damn.
They found him in the fucking desert. No more than a month later, all shot with drugs and dead, in the middle of the desert. They had to get rid of him real quick.
Remember guy back in the 50s that made the carburetor that you could get 100 miles to a gallon of gasoline? All of a sudden, he shut up. You never heard from him again.
Then the guy that did the one on water, on a hydrogen, water. He built that one that can run off water. What he's gone too. Dead as a motherfucker.
Yeah, he's gone too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how dirty these motherfuckers are. When Hearst paid enough money to get them fuckers to pull off that shit to make pot illegal for his logging fucking business, he did very well.
Yeah.
And look how long it's been in prohibition. And it's less harmless than alcohol. And alcohol, you remember, alcohol is prohibition, but the problem was it couldn't convict nobody for fucking possession of alcohol or making manufacturing alcohol because every motherfucker in Jersey is drinking. How are you gonna do the same fucking thing? They ain't gonna They're gonna sell their people out, their friends. Fuck to you. So you know that's how that worked out. That prohibition didn't work out very well at all. But that's just another way to control the people. That's another method of controlling people. That's all there is to it. People bitch about it. All the politicians hide my motherfuckers pulling shit up and say, no, you can't do it. And there you go. That's how it happened. And this here, with what we got now, hitting us that we shouldn't do what we shouldn't do is fucking way wrong. You know, it's not what we're doing. It's nothing we're doing. It's simply what they are selecting for us to be like. They want our kids to be fucking opposite sex of what they were born. You know, they want to teach it in the schools. Which is it's straight up pedophilia. It's a pedophile thing. It's all you don't teach children that shit. You don't talk to children like that. That kind of shit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I consider it worse than showing a fucking naked picture of a child. You know? I mean, Jesus, man.
Hey, they had engines. You can go on YouTube right now and they start the engine up and they drain all the oil out of it. And the fucking engine still runs perfectly.
Yep.
So what's that made out of? Okay.
Teflon.
You know, usually, see?
Teflon.
So a normal engine would seize up in 5 minutes.
Teflon added it. Like Slick 50 was one of those. Yeah. Slick 50, that shit used to be like that.
So they know how to do it. They know how to do it.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
They just ain't doing it.
Well, Teflon has been around since now more. We're fucking... Jeep set a bullet to the motherfucker that's still ramming down a drop oil in them.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah, same thing. There you go.
Great.
Teflon. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Teflon.
So there's the money. So there's all the money that they would, they want to say, save the earth, go green. Well, if they would actually go green and stop fucking being corrupt and all this other bullshit, then, hey, you might be able to clean up a few things, You might be able to clean up a few things.
They're fucking 20 years ahead of their fucking selves,
Oh, yeah.
They're way too far ahead of themselves,
Yeah, that's
the problem.
No.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, look. Remember, there was this thing on the show on History Network called The Men That Made America, right? And one of the guys they talked about was Rockefeller, when he was originally drilling for oil, right? Now, originally, they didn't want the oil, they didn't want the gasoline, they want the kerosene, right? That's what they wanted. They cooked the kerosene out of the crude oil, and then they found that they had this other byproduct, which ended up being gasoline.
And they flushed it down the ditches.
Yeah.
When they first did that, they flushed it down the ditches. They didn't, until they figured out, hey, we can sell this shit. Stop flushing it down the ditches.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that crazy?
Yeah. They make fucking tires out of crude oil.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely
that?
Everything.
Tires they made out of fucking rubber trees. That's all crude oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they broke up the Rockefeller, monopoly, he got even richer.
They never stopped Rockefeller. He's still going strong.
His family is, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the same concept as with the oil, with the rubber trees. There's not enough goddamn rubber trees in the entire world to make the supply of wheat, of tires that is needed almost every on a daily basis. You ever seen a rubber tree? It just goes drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, man.
It's rubber. Okay. And you think there's enough that to make all these big ass fucking tires?
They're made out of crude oil, brother.
Yeah, well,
I've been in this business for years, trust me.
Yeah. So, you know.
97.
Well, think the car. It is, you know, the tires, the dashboard, the seats, the everything is made out of goddamn, well, maybe not out of just well, seats, but every goddamn thing
plastic.
In that car is plastic. And what is plastic made out of?
Paint. Paint's made
oil,
out of another deal. Paint.
All of it. Yeah.
It's made out of
everything.
Oil. Yeah, there you go. Everything.
60 seconds, so you better call it now before you're going to overtime. 563-999-3726. If you don't know, fuck you. Don't care.
By the way,
hi, public service.
That's it.
Public service.
That's my thing. I told you. 563-999-3726. I probably won't do it too much over time tonight because I got to go to bed, but, you know. I took my granddaughter to Perkins last night. You know, oh, man, I'm still ass beating that.
It's a Monday.
It is? Every day's a fucking Monday.
Yeah,
seven Mondays a week.
Yep, that's it.
I'm
going to
rewrite that song.
Today is Sunday, goddammit.
You know, I'm going to rewrite that fucking song 8 days a week, you know. You know, seven days a week are Mondays.
Yeah.
7 days a week, you know, I don't give a damn.
If you want to really see those exploding, if you want to really see those exploding bikes and cars in China, go look it up on YouTube. Just put in exploding bikes in China. Man, I seen that and I thought, holy Toledo, you got to be, you know, they've outlawed. You can only use bikes, these electric bikes. They've outlawed motorcycles in a lot of the cities in China. I didn't know that. But it says in there, in this documentary, these same bitches are just going down the street and they're just poof, blow up people on them. And I'm going, okay. Don't think I want one of them. That's what I told the dude a while ago. I said, make sure your goddamn insurance is paid up. Make sure your fire insurance is paid up. Your insurance, fire insurance on your house, and maybe your life insurance.
Yeah, invest
you know,
in a good plastic surgeon.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good plastic surgeon. Yeah, absolutely. Because the little fire extinguisher ain't gonna put that baby out. Sorry, not gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen.
Here's one. Here's,
that's really
here's
funny.
One for you. Here's one for you that I talked about not putting them out. Check this video out real quick. This clip. Check it out.
Electric cars have a reputation for catching on fire. And when they do, it's nearly impossible to put them out, and they can reignite days after being extinguished. What is it that makes EV fires worse than regular car fires? Why are they going up in flames by themselves? And most importantly, how the heck do firefighters put these raging, toxic infernos out? Well, today, we're going to find out.
Hold on a second. It's almost the holiday season, and if you've got a business, big or small, then get prepared for that holiday shopping rush with today's sponsor, ShipStation. ShipStation saves you time, money, and stress by allowing you to manage every order from just one simple dashboard. ShipStation lets you automate shipping and easily compare delivery rates to optimize every shipment. Over 130,000 companies have grown their business with ShipStation, and 98% of those companies continue using it today. See, ShipStation is the gift for your business that keeps on giving, unlike these socks I got from last year's Secret Santa party.
Hey, you said you liked those.
I do, I swear. Get your business prepared for the holiday shopping rush by going to ShipStation.com/donut and signing up for a free 60-day trial. That's right, 2 months, absolutely free. Just click the link below. Now, where are the wheels?
Right where you left them, Nolan, in the engine bay.
let's take a look at why these fires are a big deal. When EVs catch on fire, they burn three times hotter than a typical car fire. Jets of flames get shot out from all sides and toxic gases are emitted. And I mean mega toxic. And it is all because of this. Most EVs on the road today use a lithium-ion battery pack, from the Hummer EV all the way down to the Nissan Leaf. Each EV battery pack is composed of hundreds or even thousands of these lithium-ion cells. Now this one, it's called an 18650 lithium-ion cell. And as you can see, it doesn't look much different than a standard AA battery. But what's inside is very different. So how about we...
The 18650 lithium battery is also used in a lot of vape sticks. One single cell. They are the most popular one, being 18. Yeah, they're the most popular 18-56, the best popular one out there. But this is, like I said, this is the problem, the batteries. So anyway, all right, here we go.
Battery.
Yeah. Well, the wiring going to the battery, but yeah, that's it. Because there's a bunch of them. There's thousands of them in there. And they're packed, so they go off simultaneously. Yeah, so they keep firing off. Like a firework fucking, you know, thing, you know, like fireworks.
I've seen a cascade, event. That's what a cascade event means.
Yeah, kind of like what's the thing called? The missile, the thing you buy, shoots off, keeps multiple fucking things off. Yeah, the missile. Okay, here we go.
Cut one of these open and see how everything is packed inside here.
Don't do this at home.
Inside this casing is a metallic anode and a cathode that function as a positive and negative pole. And between them is a non-conductive separator like graphite, which is there to prevent short circuiting. And all of this is sitting inside an electrolyte solution, which aids in the transfer of ions between the anode and the cathode. So because of this design, lithium batteries can discharge and recharge more efficiently than standard batteries. But there is a trade-off. The solvent in the electrolyte solution, it's very, very flammable. And with the anode and cathode packed so tightly together, check out what happens when I do this.
He hammered a long nail into the battery. The bitch took off like a fucking Roman candle.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. That's the video I'm talking about. Yeah, watch that.
What happens when I punctured the outer case, I circuited the anode and the cathode, and I exposed the solvent to oxygen. And what happens when we get air, fuel, and then spark? You get a little fire. That fire shot right under my gosh dang face. Did you see me flail like that? I was tight as hell. Put that on a t-shirt. So if a car that has these batteries get in a crash, that whole battery pack can bend, crack, or get punctured, exposing that solvent to the oxygen, in a short between the anode and the cathode, and getting exactly what we got here. But there are also other ways which these things can ignite without being punctured. And that's the heat. So in this case, the heat from the fire causes the electrolyte solution to expand and emit gases. That creates pressure, which ruptures the battery's case. When that happens, the flammable solvent explodes out of the case and ignites when it hits the flame. But even if there wasn't a flame present, excess heat can still cause a battery to ignite because the solvent's autoignition temperature is less than 800 degrees Fahrenheit. Once that solvent reaches that temperature, it will ignite as soon as it comes in contact with oxygen. No flame or spark necessary. So if just one of these cells can cause chaos, imagine the potential of 8,000 of these packed tightly together, just like in a Tesla Model S. If even one cell is damaged and ignites, it can cause the whole battery pack to burn for hours. That is called thermal runaway. The initial chemical reaction produces heat, causing more chemical reactions, which produce more heat, and so on and so forth. It's a snowball effect, or a fireball effect. When you see those crazy videos of electric cars on fire, this is exactly what's happening. Luckily, EV manufacturers understand these risks, so battery packs are super reinforced. Tesla even installs a titanium underbody shield on some of its models. Model X battery from damage that could start a fire. But what makes EVs different is the fire risk even when there hasn't been a crash. Now, we've seen how a cell can auto-ignite simply from high temperature. And in very specific circumstances, a malfunction in an EV's charging system or cooling system could cause the batteries to overheat and lead to a fire. Now, every EV has temperature sensors and computers to prevent these things from overheating, but that doesn't always work perfectly. So by now, you've probably got a pretty good idea of how volatile an EV fire can be. And you might be wondering, well, how hard is it to put out? Can't you just douse it with a whole bunch of water? Unfortunately, it's not that easy. The techniques for fighting an EV fire are extremely complicated compared to a gasoline-powered car fire. Now, a standard car fire is primarily fueled by interior parts like plastic and upholstery, and it's pretty easy to douse them in water, which suffocates the fire. But in an EV fire, the battery pack and all of its flammable cells are buried somewhere deep inside the car, making it really, really hard to smother the flame. But that's not even the worst of it. Because fighting a battery fire isn't about suffocating an open flame. It requires stopping that thermal runaway reaction. So even if you put the fire out, if the battery is still hot, it'll keep reigniting as long as there's still cells left to burn. And this can happen days, even weeks after the fire first started. Because even though a fire appears to be out, there can still be a chemical reaction producing heat. So stopping an EV fire requires the battery to be directly cooled with a lot of water. About 10 times the amount it takes to extinguish an ordinary vehicle fire. And not all cars have the same battery configuration. So when firefighters get to the scene, they have to respond specifically to the exact model of vehicle on fire. So for example, this is something a first responder would have on them when they go to fight a fire. If, for example, a Model S is on the road in flames. So it gives you locations of where the battery and all the wiring are, so they know where to shoot their nice cold water. So you can see, that's not easy. And more EVs are showing up on the roads every day, so our fire departments are putting in a lot of work to stay prepared.
But talking about it is one thing. I want to know how an actual firefighter deals with an electric vehicle fire. So I came to the El Camino Fire Academy, and I got Jeff here. He's going to walk me through the process. Okay, Jeff, so you get a 911 call that comes in. You got an electric vehicle fire on the side of the road. What do you need put this fire out?
So first and foremost, we always make sure that we have our personal protective gear on. That includes our helmet, our jacket, our pants, our boots, gloves, and our hood. On top of that, we're also going to have our SCBA, our self-contained breathing apparatus. That's our air pack. That helps us breathe clean air instead of breathing any of the toxins that are coming from the fire.
So how long does it take to put out a EV fire compared to a standard car fire?
If it's a regular car, you're looking on approximately a 5-minute fire with about 500 to 750 gallons of water to put it out. If it's an electric, though, we're talking it could go up to 3 hours, probably 2,500 to 25,000 gallons of water.
So how would you find out where the battery would be on a specific car, I guess?
Some engines, some departments may carry a book on specifics on where everything is on electric fire since they're becoming more and more common on the roadways. If we didn't have that, it'd be we'd literally be looking around the car and trying to figure out where it's at.
So do you guys have everything you need to fight EV fires?
Well, it'd be great, especially being at a college where we're teaching the future of the fire service, having access to more electric vehicles on campus so we can walk through it, we can take things apart, we can show where certain safety aspects of the vehicle are. Another great thing that we would need is just education. No, having the resources, having manuals, having the manufacturers provide this material to us, showing us where, you know, things are of concern, where we should be most worried about.
So do EVs worry you, or you think they're all right on the roads?
I think they're all right on the roads, but I think more importantly, we just need to be educated on it.
Yeah.
So they don't worry me any more than others. They just, I know it's going to be a longer fire, most likely, than a regular car fire.
Dude, firefighters are sick as heck. Thank you guys so much for watching this video. I want to thank the El Camino Fire Academy.
After Hurricane Ian hit the nation, there were multiple reports of flooded electric vehicles igniting and going up in flames. Believe it or not, with or without a flood, exploding EVs aren't as uncommon as you may think. Today, I'm going to explain why flooded electric cars catch fire and why EV fires are much harder to extinguish than conventional gasoline-powered cars. Hurricane Ian hit Florida this past September. It was a Category 4 hurricane, and it wrecked a lot of havoc and damage. The hurricane was so huge that in some areas, the storm surge reached 16 feet. One estimate found that in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, as many as 358,000 cars from Florida to the Carolinas had flood damage. But that's not all. There were also multiple reports of Teslas catching on fire as the floodwaters receded. And those weren't the only cars to catch fire after the hurricane. Here's the thing. If your EV was flooded, or if it even gets flooded later on, you just know that according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Association, NHTSA, that any flooded EV should be kept at least 50 feet away from structures, cars, or anything else that can easily catch on fire. Some Floridians learned it the hard way. One tweet, Florida State Fire Marshal Jimmy Petronas talked about one house that was hit hard on Sanibel Island. The damage was severe, but not because of Hurricane Ian. Rather, the house was damaged after the Tesla in the garage caught on fire from the storm. In the tweet, Petronas showed images of the damaged house, and you can see the smoke rising from the burning Tesla. Fire Marshal Petronas recalled another incident where he watched as the North Collier Fire Rescue Team fought an EV fire that continuously reignited. Yes, that's right. EVs can literally reignite even after being put out. In this particular incident, despite firemen at the scene using tens of thousands of gallons of water to cool the batteries in the EV, the EV reignited itself over and over again. He described the first-hand experience as surreal and scary. When the firemen thought they'd finally put out the fire, it lit again with vengeance. And even as the EV was being towed away by a tow truck, it caught itself on fire again. After Hurricane Ian, reports of EV fires got so bad that Florida State Fire Marshal Jimmy Petronas issued a letter to over 30 EV manufacturers. In the letter, Petronas urged EV makers to step up, demonstrate leadership, and partner with the state of Florida and local officials in this recovery. He understood that any EV that had been submerged in hurricane salt water was a fire risk. He added that the unfortunate reality that we see today is that there's a population of vehicles that can spontaneously combust at any moment, and countless first responders are put at risk, not to mention American households. Who knows how many countless more will be put at risk because of spontaneously combusting EVs. Put simply, flooded EVs are like ticking time bombs. Despite all this, Petronas only heard crickets chirping. EV manufacturers were nowhere to be found. I can certainly imagine his frustration. The thing is, human rights are at stake. Secondly, many EV companies receive subsidies from taxpayers. So you'd hope that EV makers would react immediately to acknowledge and address the matter somehow. Naturally, you're wondering, why do they start on fire at all? After all, normally water puts out a fire, it doesn't cause it. Well, here's the thing. There are two parts in play here. First, you have the lithium-ion battery in an EV. Next, you have a hurricane. Hurricanes are the most violent storms on Earth. Typically, they form near the equator over warm ocean waters. And we all know the ocean contains salt water. Now, when salt water gets into a lithium-ion battery, that's bad news. Salt bridges form within the battery pack. All that salt water begins to seriously corrode the battery components and even the wires inside an EV. That then causes a short or even the wiring to get exposed. Once that happens, one simple small spark is all it needs to ignite a fire that quickly engulfs the electric car. Let's put it in perspective. Which is more likely to catch fire, a traditional gas-powered car or an electric car? Most EV manufacturers will tell you their vehicles are no more likely to catch on fire than a gas-powered car. For example, Tesla claims that gas-powered cars are 11 times more likely to catch fire than EVs. But is that the truth? Well, it depends. If we're talking about what's more likely to catch fire after a collision, well, definitely it's a gas-powered car. But if we're talking about which type of car is the most fires reported in general, the answer may surprise you. It's not gas-powered cars. It's not EVs either. Actually, it's hybrid cars. Gas-powered cars are the second most likely to catch fire in general, and EVs are the least likely to catch fire of those three types. When it comes to EVs and hybrids, the batteries are usually the culprit for any fire, not their wiring, at least not in the newer models. Both hybrid and battery electric vehicles, recalls after fires are usually all related to battery issues. On the other hand, gas-powered cars are usually caused by fuel leaks, electrical shorts, or anti-lock braking systems. Now, just because an EV fire is technically less common than gas-powered car fires, that doesn't make them less dangerous. The truth is, EV fires are a whole lot harder to extinguish than fires of a traditional gas-powered car. The reason is, EV chemistries cause far hotter electrical fires that reignite because of the physical properties of the battery housing. Now, the average gas-powered car that catches fire usually takes about 300 gallons to extinguish. But EVs is a different story. Tesla said that anywhere between 3,000 to 8,000 gallons of water can be needed to extinguish the Model S. It's a lot more water. Now, that's what Tesla states officially. But look at a Tesla that caught fire in Houston in April 2021. Houston firefighters needed 28,000 gallons of water to permanently extinguish that fire after it reignited twice. Believe it or not, an EV fire can last for hours before it can be finally put out. Firefighters are still learning the best way to extinguish EV fires. And even when an EV fire gets put out, remember, it can still reignite even after 24 hours. And in some rare cases, even after weeks. Earlier in this year, 2022, a massive cargo ship named the Felicity Ace caught on fire as it was crossing the Atlantic Ocean. The ship burned for days just off the coast of Portugal's Azores Islands until it finally sank. Now, the cause of the massive blaze has not been published officially, but a captain in a nearby port said that the reason the fire lasted so long was because of the special cargo it was carrying on board, which was electric vehicles. We're talking about electric Porsches, Bentleys and Audis to be exact. Really expensive ones. And there were about 4,000 of them. The lithium-ion batteries inside the EVs basically canceled out any efforts from the tugboats that were spraying the ship with water. Now, we all know that zombies aren't real, but when it comes to Tesla zombies, those are apparently real. I'm talking about the Tesla Model S that was sent to the junkyard for scrap after a vehicle accident. But then 3 weeks later, the EV came back to life, so to speak, and caught fire. This happened just this past June. The Sacramento Fire Department said it was unclear how or why the EV battery randomly caught itself on fire. Even more interesting is the way the firefighters put out the fire. First, they created a pit with dirt. Then, they placed the Tesla in it and filled the pit with water. The total time it took them to extinguish the fire was over an hour. If you think that's a crazy story, you haven't heard anything yet. It gets crazier. Rewind 2 summers ago in June 2021. It was just another typical Tuesday in Pennsylvania. The $129,900 Tesla Model S Plaid had just been released. Just 3 days after release, a driver took it out on the road, only to notice smoke coming out of the back of the car. Of course, the driver tried to get out of the car, except the electric door system failed. He was stuck. The driver was eventually able to manually force open the door. After he got out, the car continued to move another 35 to 40 feet before it burst in a fireball. It took firemen over 3 whole hours to kill the fire. The reality is that it can happen to almost any EV, regardless of brand. The only reason why people hear about Tesla fires is because Teslas are the highest selling EVs out there. And we see more Teslas on the road than other EVs. That's why when there's an EV fire, with or without a flood, of course, chances are it'll be a Tesla in the United States. The complexity with EV fires has to do with the lithium-ion battery. Right now, it's the most common type of battery to come standard in most electric vehicles. Some EV companies have begun adding exotic materials to their lithium-ion batteries to improve the thermal characteristics and performance. EV companies have been actively looking at solid-state batteries. Evidently, it's supposed to be more stable and less likely to ignite. But let's get back to Hurricane Ian. Believe it or not, reports back from this past October found that some of the cars that were flooded during Hurricane Ian were actually resold. In fact, if you're shopping for a used car, I always suggest you check the car's VIN number to make sure it has no flood history. And if it does, then avoid buying the car. Here's the thing about flooded EVs. There are safety risks that go through the roof. Salt water doesn't just corrode EV batteries. It corrodes all sorts of important parts and components, whether it's an electric car or a gas-powered car. Anyway, if you're wondering how on earth these flooded cars get resold, you can say there's a tiny loophole in the system. If a car was insured when it was damaged and salvaged due to flood, you'll see that in the vehicle history report when you search by the car's VIN. But if the vehicle was not insured, well, this is where things get tricky. In this case, a dishonest owner can quickly clean it up and resell it without documenting any flood damage. So just beware of that when you go car shopping. For some time now, car supply has been low, but demand has been high in both the new and used car markets. Some dealers are very desperate, so desperate that some may even resell these flooded pieces of junk. So let me tell you how to spot a flooded car. First, pop open the hood and look for any rust, corrosion, or brittle wires. Also, check the engine bay for any sand or mud around the engine. That's because flood water brings sand and dirt inside a car, and it can be hard to clean out. Also, keep your eyes out for sand or mud under the carpet. Pick it up and look under it. Look inside the glove compartment and under the seats. Look for water stains, moisture, or mildew on the seat belts. If a used car has brand new upholstery inside, be skeptical and cautious. This can be a warning sign the owner is trying to hide flood damage. Also, look for any moisture, beads, or fog inside the lights. Check under the dash and around the doors for any signs of water damage and rust. If you smell unusual odors, be suspicious. Usually, flooded cars smell musty or moldy. Or if it smells strongly of cleaning solutions, the owner might be trying to mask the mildew smell. Also, run the air conditioner to see if it produces a moldy smell. Another tip is to check for engine smoke. Smoke should be a concern for any used car, but engine smoke is even more serious if you suspect the car was flooded. If you hear odd noises from the brakes or steering wheel, this too can indicate that sand or dirt has gotten into the system. But now you tell me, have you ever survived a flood or EV fire? Please share by commenting below. If you like this video, please like, share, and subscribe. Thanks for your support.
So there you go. If you buy an electric car, you're fucked. You paid too much for it, the bitch could cook. And I couldn't imagine what it cost to insure one of them motherfuckers. You know
shit,
what I mean?
I don't even remember.
Fuck. Okay. Yeah, it's, these they ran off AA batteries. That's what these cars are ran off of. Like I said, you get a bunch of them together and they shake and they rub, they leak, bam, fire. You know, and all it takes is oxygen to start it. They're dead.
So you
bitch.
Seen that video? Just I told you when when they punctured that outer core or that casing, boom, go flames right up.
Yeah, and keep all going. Yeah. Yeah,
like a little miniature flamethrower. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 5,000 and 6,000 some bitches. Shit, no, and a battery back, paint back. Bank.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But like I said, too, also, you know, the fucking, you can't drive long distance with them.
No. No.
You know.
Can't find a charging station.
Charge? Right. They're not at the plumbing pool. It's fucking gas station, you know, hanging around. So, I mean,
well, it takes hours for the damn thing to charge up.
Yeah.
I mean, how long did it take you to put some gas in the gas tank? What, five minutes? Compared
five,
to 5 hours?
Yeah.
You know, 5 hours to charge the damn thing up?
Yeah, so they're not
and
too
the, quick.
They're a fad. I think they're just a goddamn fad, Gunslinger.
It
I
is.
Don't think
it's
they're going to last.
Yeah.
It's just
and you know,
that's the reason why the gas prices are going up so fucking high, because people think it'd be cheaper to own a fucking electric car.
Oh,
you got to still pay for electric to fucking
that's what it is,
So what the fuck?
And you know what?
And
you know that the faster you charge these motherfuckers, the weaker the battery gets.
That's a fact.
You know that.
Huh.
Okay. And
you got to understand something. On these batteries, and even deep cell battery, you got to run the fuck until it's practically dead, about 20%, to get it to pick, you know, to recharge and do a better, you know, deep charger.
Yeah.
To get a better deep charge into it, because not
and you know,
fuck the battery up. If you charge
and you know
like,
how
you
much
60% in it, and you go charge it, you're killing the fucking charge cycle. It'll kill the time frame of how long it'll hold a charge.
You know how much a replacement battery for these cocksuckers cost? I seen one guy came on.
$29,000.
$29,000. You got $29,000 in your pocket for a spare battery? Can I see your battery, please? Yes, right.
I bet you I'm paying $250 for batteries for my diesel. And I got three of them. I own three diesel trucks, man. Fuck. It was worse when the tow trucks were around. You know, fuck.
Yeah.
And especially that fucking rotator. You know, that motherfucker didn't take regular batteries. You know, I hate to say that. You know what I mean? They slid out from underneath
heavy
it. Yeah, heavy.
Fucking.
About 5 feet long, 3 feet fucking wide. Yeah, you're talking a few $1,000 to replace those.
Each.
But they don't usually go bad that easy. And mine, mine were big five batteries, you know, the big cables to pick them up. They looked like the size of four car batteries stacked together, but five times.
Okay.
You know, they slide in into the frame of the trailer or the truck. Yeah.
I'm crazy.
You know, where the cab is, right there beside the cab, there's a door. You pull that drawer out, it's full of batteries. For that thing.
Yeah.
It's got to have that much power to run it. There's a lot of shit as we ran.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of batteries, a lot of power, battery power.
Yeah. Big tractor trailers don't run off one battery. You know, they run big batteries, too. You know, like buses and shit. And, they stab a lot.
I'm surprised that rotator didn't have an onboard generator.
It did. Yeah, it had to. That was because, matter of fact, that electric generator was what powered the winch. And then the hydraulic system to go with it, too. Yeah. Yeah. There's like three different winches on that truck, you know. It's got different shit. You know, the big hydraulic one is, you know, the one for the actual main big gigantic cable. The big part of the winch is all hydraulic. But the other ones are electric. They're electric winches. Yeah. So, you know. It had a lot of shit on it, you know. But the generator was diesel that ran on it, you know.
It's crazy.
But you could do everything from fucking light up a ballpark to fucking jump start a car with it. You know what I mean? It was crazy. It had everything you could fucking think of, whatever you needed, man. For any type of movement, anything. Had the balloons, you know, the bags, the air bags, flip shit up. Yeah, had those. Had all the restrainer pipes and all that shit. You got a car on its side, you can stick those right to it, and fucking it won't flip over on you. A lot of shit. Chains, hooks, I mean, just tons of shit. Of course, fire extinguishers are everywhere. Had its own Ansel system in it, too, you know. You could put itself out if it were caught on fire. Fucking neat. Like an airplane, you know. But it was a big machine. I mean, the rotators ain't little. It's not a little tow truck, man. It's a big machine. You know, you got three axles in the back.
They got their own fire suppression system? They got their own suppression system?
Fuck yeah. Yes, they do. Yeah them fucking generators and shit get hot, man. Really fucking hot. You never know what could happen. So, you know. Yeah. But, you know, if you're pulling, say, you know, a fucking loaded tractor trailer with that big motherfucker, you know, it needs everything it's got. So, I mean, it don't need everything it's got, but I'm just saying, you know. And then, of course, when you're using the crane off that rotator, you know, depends on what you're plucking out the side of a fucking mountain out here, down off the side of a cliff, whatever, however, coming out of water, you know. They really like the propulsion out of water because it doesn't strain as much as a regular tow truck does. The regular tow truck
crane
do it,
section, but. Yeah, did that crane section go back and forth like that dude, what's his name, Ron Prick?
Was it telescopic?
The whole.
You're talking about Pratt?
The whole thing.
Yeah. Right, Pratt. Yeah, right. Yes, telescopic. Yeah, I know Pratt. I know him.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole crane moves back and forth in the truck. It goes from.
Yeah, it's called telescopic. It's a telescopic crane. Yeah, right. Yeah, mine was too. Yeah. It had to be, because like I said, it depends on where you're at, and how you got it set. Because you had to have the outriggers out and all that shit to use that crane. You know what I mean? You got these big monstrosity outriggers. And you had pads inside. You had to pull the pads out of, you know, one of the storage boxes on each part of the truck has this section where you pull this pad out and you stick it under your outrigger to give it a better footing, you know. Because, like I said, you're pulling something. The truck, if you didn't use those, you'd flip the truck over trying to pick up something heavier than the handle, you know.
Hell yeah, definitely.
So you have those.
Yeah, right. That's one of the right there. That's one of the outriggers on the back hose are there to keep the big thing solid.
Right.
Not to blow the tire out when you're digging.
Well, you don't flip yourself over and shit. But anyway, that's what they had. And it was telescopic. It could reach out, 80 feet? You know, that's pretty long, man. It's a pretty long fucking stick of metal.
The one that the other Ron has, they said it could reach out 50. Mm-hmm. He says it's a 50,000 pound lift, but it's not 50,000 pound. It's in the end of that crane. The more you extend that boom out, the lower it can lift because of the weight.
Right.
The angle.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
But his, I don't think his is a triaxle. I think that's just a dual axle rear end on his. I don't think it's a tri. Mine was a triaxle.
Yeah.
Mine was bigger. Mine was a little bigger.
His got three axles under it.
There's
two duals
and
a single.
Yeah.
Duals and a single.
Right. Like, it just depends on what you got. You know, they make even bigger ones than that. You know, bigger than mine. So, just depends on what kind of money you want to spend, brother. That's all there is to it. How much insurance you want to spend to operate that motherfucker. Yeah. You know, in towing campers, people used to really bitch. When you had to pick up big motorhomes and shit with that thing, they bitch, man. They hated it. The cost of towing them fuckers, man. It's expensive. You know? If I got to tow that motherfucker a block, it was $1,200 fucking dollars.
I mean,
it's just $600 just for me to hook the fucker up. Then if I got a winch,
you can't use a garden tractor. I mean, what do they expect?
No. I mean, but for me to winch you up the side of a cliff, see, you were 100 feet down, and I had to pull your fucking shit out of that hole down there, which most shit drops 100 fucking feet ain't worth fucking bringing back. You know, they're fucked. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually, and motherfuckers mostly die in them. But if that's the case, you're talking $6,000 or $7,000 just to pull that car out. You know, so. And then the question is, do you want us to tow the car after we get out of the hole? You know, and of course we won't use that truck to tow a car. We'll have another flatbed truck there to tow that part. You know what I mean? But we could just set the car right on the back of the flatbed and ain't got to fucking worry about pulling it up on it. You know what I mean? But usually when an accident like that, you got to pull them up, set them on the ground in the road, let the cops snoop around them for a while, then you can throw them on the fucking trailer and take them where they want them towed to evidence garage where they can study the car or just take the scrapyard. You know, fuck it. It just depends. Every situation is different. You never know. Like I said, out here, we don't have no fucking guardrails. You go off the side of the road, you're fucking gone.
I know. I'll be up there. I seen that.
Yeah. You might want to pay close to fucking attention to what you're doing. You know? Real close attention. All right, guys, well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I think I'm going to blow this case. And, of course, catch Laurie's show tomorrow night. I want to say Lucifer, but it ain't so listed. This Libertarian tomorrow night. I'll be there, I'm sure. And catch Robert's show, CNM. Yeah, check him out, too. That's a good show. And, you know, keep checking this show out, as usual, you know, because this is the coolest show I know. I can't help I'm stuck on myself. I feel that Sinzer effect. Oh, gosh,
no,
I know
no,
it
no.
all. I know everything. I know a dude that knows a dude that has a brother, has a brother-in-law, and he blows a cousin of a brother. Another friend knows this brother, and he knows it all. You know.
Yeah, really.
And I'm free. And I'm fucking free. Because I'm free. Yeah,
Freedom.
Yep, freedom. But, nope, that's not the case, and we fucking know it. We ain't free. So, all right, with that all said, I want to thank everybody for coming to hang out with me and my retardation for the night on a Saturday night. And now my other computer just took a fucking ride on me. What are you doing? All right, anyway, let's listen to the song.
All right,
good night,
guys.
Get the fuck out of here and go get fucking high and drunk.
Good night.
All right, let's do that. All right, have a good night, folks.
Even my